It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Dave Stouffer of Washington, Iowa, started dressing up as Santa Claus when he was 30 years old. He has spent 40 years helping Santa out by visiting with children at malls, attending Christmas parties, appearing in parades. And last Saturday morning, he was the guest of honor at the annual Breakfast with Santa in Washington. There were about 30 kids there. They gathered around and found seats on the floor to listen while Santa read a story.
And he whistled and shouted and called them by name. He said, "Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all." Oh, I got so excited, I almost fell out of the chair.
Santa also read the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and then got to do a little singing.
As they shouted out with glee, "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history."
Bump, 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 bump. That's all.
And after the stories were done, the kids started surrounding Santa, and then they gave him a great big hug.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, group hug. Whoa! Whoa! Absolutely awesome. Okay, get up. You're killing me.
And now Dave Stouffer is here with me in the studio today. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And you have also written about your experiences helping Santa out all these years in a new memoir as well called Are You the Real Santa?
Yeah, I have. I decided if I could read a book, maybe I could write one.
Wonderful. Well, let's go back 40 years ago to your first experience dressing up as Santa Claus. What led to that for you?
Well, it's a sad story, Charity. Actually, I was working at a dead-end job, living in my parents' basement, like sometimes people do. And the only activity I had was community theater, and I did a lot of that. I've always enjoyed that. And around Thanksgiving time, a lady who also worked in the department store came to me and asked me if I would play Santa Claus for her granddaughter. And I was skinny, and I had a Shakespearean type of goatee, and I didn't look any more like Santa Claus than I did the Easter Bunny. And so I said, "Well, I don't have a Santa suit." And she said, "Well, you can rent one for $10. And, "Well, my beard is this way." "No, it comes with a beard." And, "Well, I'm probably busy that day." And, no, you can come any day." And I finally said to her, "Why can't you take your daughter to the mall?" She says, "Because my granddaughter, rather, lives in a bed in our living room, and the doctors have told us that there's nothing more they can do, and this is probably going to be her last Christmas." So I plunked down the $10. I put on the suit, even though it fit really badly and smelled even worse, and I went and was Santa Claus. And the interesting thing about it was that I'm sure the little girl could see my goatee, and I'm sure that she could realize that there was towels in my belly. But because she wanted to see Santa Claus, she did. And that was the first of what I now refer to as Christmas magic. That's little kids have the ability to see what they want to see and make it be as beautiful and as wonderful as they want to. And I wish I could say that I went home and went up my parents' basement steps and went out and became real successful. It didn't happen overnight. I didn't go down the steps overnight. So that's kind of how it started. It was beautiful.
When you were 30 years old and playing this role, you have aged into a man who looks a little like Santa, maybe a lot like
Thank
Santa.
You.
And I wonder how over the years the role you were playing changed.
Well, my beard is white. I'm back, and it's a full beard. I'm back this year to wearing a fake stomach because I lost a bunch of weight over the last couple of years. But it used to was you just put on a suit and go out the door. And I think what it is more of an attitude. in theater all the years ago that I did community theater, it was really neat for me because I didn't have to be myself. And you amateur psychologists can do whatever you want to with that. I didn't have to be myself. I could be somebody else. When I became the persona of Santa Claus, then I could be what the people needed me to be. No child who comes to visit me as Santa Claus stays any longer than they need to. They all get to do whatever they need to do to make it a real and beautiful experience for them. So consequently, then it is for me. And I think how it's evolved, I think without being egotistical, and I think it's made me a kinder, gentler person, because if I'm wearing a pair of shorts and a T-shirt out in the yard in the summer, I'm liable to be called Santa as well as Dave. And so that gives you a certain amount of responsibility you gotta kind of hold up to.
Well, when you walked in here and you looked at me through the window before we actually got to shake hands, I looked at you and I couldn't help but smile. And I'm guessing a lot of people have that reaction when they see you. You just evoke a good feeling because you make us think about Santa.
Well, and I like that. Now, after the season, the beard gets shorter. It never completely leaves, but we spend a lot of time getting, as my wife says, busted in places like restaurants, where all of a sudden little kids are fidgeting and sitting up straighter and eating better, and so it is kind of an interesting thing to see what reaction the way I look and my personality has on people. I like that.
And you feel that it's changed you as a person?
Either that or as you get older, you stop caring. But I think it has. I think it has. It's my Santa Claus role playing is really closely tied with my Christian belief. And I think that if you're not changing in your Christian belief as you walk in it, then that's wrong. You need to be evolving. You need to be a changing.
Well, I know some people who complain about Santa Claus because they feel that although obviously he's a very important part of Christmas, that he's not an important part of Christianity. How do you respond to people who worry that maybe the focus on Santa Claus takes away from the Christmas story?
Well, Coca-Cola fixed that a whole long time ago by saying what we should look like and making it a commercial thing. And every winter I do go into the toy stores and see what the kids are going to be asking for. But it's not so much what the kids want for Christmas is the smiles on their faces and the laughter and joy that they're sharing with their families. And I don't preach to them, but since Santa Claus started out as St. Nicholas, who was a kindly priest, bishop, who put gifts into poor children's shoes, it's evolved from that. And I guess I like to think that I go back a little bit more to the beginning than to the Coca-Cola Santa Claus, even though that's how I appear.
When you interact with children as Santa, you're also interacting with their families. How much of a role do the parents play in how you need to respond to the child?
You keep one eye on the child and one eye on mom and dad or mom or dad, because invariably you're going to have the child standing in front of you saying, I want a real kitten, or I want a BB gun, or I want a pocket knife, or I want a fill in the blank of something that's either dangerous or expensive or alive.
Right.
And so I need to know how the parents are reacting to what their kid is saying. And normally it's been talked about in the car or in the house for days prior to their visit to Santa Claus. So normally I know how to react by seeing what they're doing. And I had a thing that happened here in Iowa City, actually, a number of years ago. I was Santa at Sycamore Mall for quite a while. And it's kind of a long story, but it had to do with that, and I was able to pick up with the cues from the parents as to how I should respond to the child. So they'll tell you. They may just nod, or they'll get teary-eyed if something's going on, or their kid will say, I want an iPod or an iPad for Christmas, and mom and dad will start gasping and patting their soon-to-be-emptied pocketbook.
Right. So kids sometimes don't just ask for stuff, though. I'm sure you've gotten some really difficult requests over the years. Have you had children ask you things like, can you get my parents back together?
Uh-huh. Can you bring mommy home from the hospital? Last year, there's a family in our town who have three adult children. Traditionally, after the lighted parade, they come into the Santa house with all the grandchildren. They stand in line and they wait and talk. Well, my wife and I know the man and woman, the grandfather and grandmother, and we knew the grandmother was suffering from cancer. And we knew that the family was going to be all together in Hawaii for Christmas if she could hang out. So all the grandkids had things that they wanted except the boy, and the boy looked at me and he said, I want my grandma to be able to go to Hawaii with us for Christmas. And so I talked to him, and she was there, and I talked to him, and I said, well, I'm sure that's going to happen, and it's really going to be wonderful. She did. She actually passed away in Hawaii over Christmas. So last Friday night, here are the grandkids and grandpa standing in line. And when the boy, when they all came up, they were all happy and laughing. And I said to the boy, I know, I remember what you asked for Christmas last year, and you got your wish, didn't you?
Wow. Sometimes you can't make that wish come true. How do you deal with that?
I guess I never promise anything. I always say, if I can do that, I will. If that happens, won't it be neat? When lists are horribly long or expensive, I will say that's too many things. Out of all that list, what would you like to have most? I want a BB gun. You'll shoot your eye out. you may not be old enough to have a my own nephew is 5 years old. He wants an electric train. I want to give him an electric train. I really do, but not until it's time. So sometimes you have to be gently firm to let them know that. And most kids are okay with that because you're not being mean. You're not saying, no, you're not going to get this, or you don't deserve this. You're saying, okay, maybe there'll be another time that'll be better.
You, as I mentioned earlier, look a lot like Santa Claus.
Thank you, Charity.
And I'm sure that people love that about you. And I'm sure that some people use that as evidence that you are really Santa Claus. Have you encountered many beard pullers?
Oh, I hope the lady's not listening today, but many years ago in Sycamore Mall, there's always people who are pulling beard to prove to their grandchildren that it's real. And at Sycamore Mall, I worked 6 days a week, and I would see thousands of kids over the Christmas holiday. And sometimes, while Santa is never cranky to children, sometimes he gets his feathers a little ruffled. And so when this grandmother walked up to me and with her grandchildren, and she gave my beard a terrible pull, it hurt. And she says, is that real? And without thinking, I reached out and grabbed a little piece of her hair and pulled it and said, is that real? That's one time when I made it into the Iowa City Press Citizen.
Oh, my. What is, out of all these years of helping Santa out, what is your favorite part of this role?
Wow. I could tell you what are my least favorite parts, but the favorite parts are now getting to be that I've been in this area and in Washington long enough that kids who sat on my lap are bringing their kids. That's cool.
Yeah. There are kids who get so excited to see you around Christmas time. And then because you are larger than life and you're very important to them, they get so overwhelmed that they can't actually talk to you. I'm sure that happens to you a lot.
They'll come running into the room, screaming all the way from the doorway, and skid to a stop and become a statue.
Do you have a trick to help them connect with you?
I tease them. I play with them. My claim to fame is, if you will put enough time in your schedule, I can get your child on my lap for a picture, if that's what you want. If the child really doesn't want a picture or really doesn't want to be there, then that's what they get too. But I will gently tease them. I'll point out something, or the bigger brother or bigger sister, I'll tease them and get the little one to start laughing and interacting and so forth. And then I'll give me five, give me five, or give me a knuckle bump, or whatever the thing is now. And oh my goodness, look at the buttons on your coat and this sort of thing. And we can melt them down after a while.
We have a telephone call from Robin in Iowa City. Hi, Robin.
Hi. I just wanted to say that my kids went to you for years at the Sycamore Mall, and my 9-year-old still believes that you are the real Santa Claus. Your selfless service to them at the mall each year has meant the world to my family, and we are just heartbroken that we don't know where we can see you anymore. Your pictures are throughout our scrapbooks, and every time we think of Christmas, my children picture your face and your warmth and your love that you show to them.
Wow. Thank you, Charity. I'm kind of speechless, but ma'am, if you want to come down to Washington, Iowa, any weekend between now and the 22nd, I'm in the old library building, which is by the YMCA, and I'd be happy to see you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Robin,
thank you
for your call. And Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you, and God bless us all, everyone.
Dave Stouffer is one of Santa's most dedicated helpers from Washington, Iowa. He's written the memoir, Are You the Real Santa?
Gifts I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus?
Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio.
Slide a spark out upon my clacking jaw. Who's there? Who is it? Stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus? Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasantly pleasant for me. That is just what I've been waiting for. You mind slipping it under the door? Old winds are howling.